This reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the way things of old. For I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, a rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
The Bible reading is taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 33 to 39. Jesus questioned about fasting. They said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." He told them this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says, the old is better. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. You'll have to excuse my croaky voice today, but let's begin in prayer. Please bow your heads. Loving God, we thank you for your presence with us. Your presence that has been with your people throughout the ages, Lord. We thank you for your word that speaks afresh to us day by day. And we pray that you would speak to us now through your word to Isaiah, Lord, that it may touch our hearts today and prepare us for what you have ahead. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So do you like new technology and gadgets? Are you waiting for the latest step? Apple iPhone? Are you looking forward to a bigger, flatter, clearer smart TV with internet connection so you can watch these online services on the biggest screen possible? Are you in love with your new revolutionary Dyson vacuum cleaner? Each of those things provides you with a new, quicker, easier, better, more efficient way of doing something. Or do you dread being told by your child or grandchild to get a new phone or TV or vacuum cleaner when you've only just got used to how the current one works, and in fact you even preferred the one before that, which was simpler? We all react differently to new things, either with excited anticipation of change, improvement and novelty, or with a dread of the comfortable, familiar disappearing and having to exert ourselves with adjusting to the new. Or maybe it's a mix of both. Our current sermon series is entitled The New Normal, and that reflects a phrase that's been used for many months now as the world thinks about life post-pandemic. I wonder what reaction that phrase stirs up in you. Maybe it's excitement, maybe it's fear, maybe uncertainty. We heard some hopes for the future in our opening activity that relates to this new normal. I'm sure many of us would like to go back to how things were before we ever heard of COVID-19. Others undoubtedly would like to forge ahead into a new future where we can put into practice lessons learned from the effects of the pandemic to make this world a better place. I'm sure some of these thoughts were in the minds of the Jewish exiles in Babylon as they heard from their prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah and Haggai, who spoke of God returning them to their homeland. Last week we heard how Jeremiah gave encouragement to these exiles that for the duration of their time in Babylon they should settle down, enjoy life there, be a blessing to the people around them. But now these years of being in the midst of the crisis of exile are coming to an end and God is stirring things up. As we heard 2 weeks ago from Mick, Isaiah prophesies that God will use the heathen Persian King Cyrus to bring about his purposes to restore the Jews in exile to their homeland. And in today's reading from Isaiah 43, God is preparing the Jews for this latest exodus by using imagery from the first exodus from Egypt to the Promised Land. Verse 16, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the waters, a path through the mighty sea, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. God grabs their attention to listen to his words through Isaiah by referring to his miraculous deeds for the Israelites 1,000 years earlier, when he parted the Red Sea to rescue them from the pursuing Egyptians. This event is the major miraculous event in Israel's history, recalled many times throughout the Old Testament, such as in Psalm 77, to remind the Israelites of God's power to rescue them and his favour upon them. Remembering how we came to faith, or when God has spoken to us, or miracles he's done in our life, as Marcia spoke about last week, similarly strengthens our faith in times of trouble or doubt. But then, God dramatically says in verse 18, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, before preparing them for the future by saying in verse 19, see, I am doing a new thing. Despite the fact that these past glories of God had often sustained them, God is telling his people in exile not to dwell on that past, not to live on the wonderful stories of yesteryear, but to be prepared for a new thing that he will do, a second exodus, this time from Babylon back to the Holy Land. The past can teach and illustrate, but it must not limit or bind. God is revealed in the past, but he is more than the past revealed. He always has new good things in store. And what a thing it will be for them, like dry riverbeds in the hot barren wilderness being filled with a refreshing life-giving water. God will bring forth new life and hope from a dry and hopeless place. Like wild animals honouring God, so will unlikely people far from God honour him through their actions. And he does this because, as verse 20 and 21 says, he loves them. They are his chosen people, his children, and he wants to give them hope and a good future. But ultimately, he wants his people, his children, to proclaim his praise. However, he recognises that they might miss this new thing, this upcoming return from exile as a new work of God. Do you not perceive it? He says in verse 19. This prophecy is there to prepare them so they won't miss this as God's great work for them, his chosen people. They have not been forgotten. God has great things in store and they should be expectant. But the emphasis on a new thing prepares them for something different. Not a return to their old ways back in their former land. They need a new mindset, a new way of thinking, of being, a new normal as they return. Jesus' little parable in Luke chapter 5 of garments and wineskins says something similar. You don't tear a new garment in order to use it as a patch for an old one. That's a waste and it won't work. Similarly, you don't put new wine that is fermenting into an old wineskin that's lost its elasticity, or will burst. Everyone knows that, or at least they did back then. In other words, a new work of God, as Jesus was bringing in through his life and teachings, requires a new mindset, an openness to change, which sadly the Jewish leaders in Jesus' day were not prepared to to accept. This has so many parallels for us as we enter a new normal post-COVID. Parallels individually, as churches, and as a global community. Alexander White said that the Christian life was a series of new beginnings. It starts with our salvation and rebirth, but it doesn't stop there. God is always doing a new thing because he is active, creative, adaptive. That may excite us or terrify us, just as new technology does. But it's a fact of being Christian, and particularly so now. So what might it mean for our global community, our churches, and ourselves? For our global community, we're recognising that we need to support poorer nations with the vaccination programmes because the effects of COVID in other countries affect us too. And I think there are signs of a desire for equity that will stretch beyond vaccinations to provide greater financial support, to reduce poverty and improve healthcare and quality of life in poorer nations, as well as tackle climate change for the good of all nations. I think there's an awful long way to go, but I think God is stirring things up and we should pray. And then for us as churches in this parish, I think God is saying a few new things for us in this season post-pandemic. We need to focus on him, trust in him, pray to him, rather than maybe focus on services, activities and events. I think we need to be braver in sharing our faith individually and as a church. We need to be more open to change and spontaneity. And we need to share the load and not rely on certain people to do so much. As you'll see in Notes and News, we're bringing in a new service pattern in September for a number of reasons, which we believe is responding to what God is doing amongst us at present. We'll also be dropping some of our regular pre-COVID activities, adapting others and starting a few new ones, as well as keeping much the same. These changes some of you may find hard. You may miss aspects of what was there before, but let's pray that God uses this new normal, which we have prayed about and sought God about for his glory, and be supportive of them. And let's be open to what other new things God might want to do amongst us that we're not yet aware of. And individually, what might God be saying to you and to me? What new thing might he want to do in you or through you? For me, God is telling me to be braver, more courageous, something I've often struggled with. But what about you? Take time to listen to God, to reflect on what he might have been saying to you through the pandemic. Write it down. How can you better love your family and friends, your world, your church, yourself, and yet keep all these things in balance? While I was preparing for this sermon, I received an email from Mick Morse, who read Isaiah 43 for our online service today. He felt God saying to us words from 2 Kings 3, which is, dig ditches. Because God is going to send rain, and we need those ditches to catch that rain rather than let it soak away. In other words, how are we preparing ourselves and our churches for this new thing that God is doing, whatever it may be? Are our hearts ready? Are our lifestyles open to change? Are we prepared to adapt to this new normal? God is speaking to us afresh today through Isaiah to help us be ready and to perceive these wonderful new things that he is doing. So let's be open, let's be ready, let's be adaptable and expectant. And let's pray, come Holy Spirit, do a new thing in me. So let's do that now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who is always on the move, a God who delights in newness and freshness, and a God who we believe is doing a new thing today. We pray, Father, our own hearts would be open to hear you and respond to you. We pray for our churches in this parish, Lord, that we also may be open to what you are saying, this new thing that you are doing amongst us. And we pray for our world, Lord, that you would indeed do a new thing and bring glory to your name, the ultimate purpose of it all. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.